This week on Vaticano, join us as we explore how the Vatican is preparing for Christmas and meet the saints whose stories shape the holiday. See how St. Lucy brings light into the holiday through candles and chants. Discover how St. Nicholas of Bari, the original Santa, is still inspiring kindness today. And follow the journey of a traditional Italian Christmas carol from its birthplace to audiences around the world. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. Christmas has arrived at the Vatican. Vatican City has been busy preparing for the festive season. St. Peter's Square has been filled with a life-size nativity scene, an 80-foot-tall tree, and an exhibition of more than 100 nativity scenes that have come from across the globe. 100 Nativity Scenes in the Vatican has returned for its 8th edition. 132 nativity scenes from around 23 countries are now exhibited under the left-hand colonnade of Bernini in St. Peter's Square as part of the cultural event series Jubilee is Culture.
I think it's beautiful. When I heard about it, the 100 nativity scenes, I was most excited to come here and go one by one and see the different countries and the different artisans who made these nativity scenes.
I'm amazed. It was a surprise. We didn't know that we were going to come upon it. So it's been very interesting just to see the talent.
This year's central nativity scene was donated by the Italian Diocese of Nocera Inferiore Sarno. It honors St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori. In Italy, St. Alphonsus is known for composing the famous Italian Christmas carol, Tu scendi dalle stelle, from starry skies descending.
The nativity scene is a beautiful page of catechesis, but also of ecclesiology, that is, where each person is in his or her proper place, but the center is the Lord.
The emotions one feels, the sentiment experienced before a nativity scene during the 2025 Jubilee year, the first nativity scene of our new Holy Father, Leo. The emotions are truly many. What I can certainly say is that we have been active for 43 years, and this is the most important work we have ever carried out to date, and it will probably remain so forever.
Ahead of the inauguration of the tree and nativity scene in the square, Pope Leo XIV met with the donors that made this possible inside the Vatican's Paul VI Audience Hall that also houses a nativity scene from Costa Rica with a focus on the pro-life message. The Holy Father emphasized that the nativity scene, together with the Christmas tree, need to remind us of something deeper.
Cari fratelli e sorelle,
dear brothers and sisters, the nativity scene and the tree are signs of faith and hope.
Contempliamo nelle nostre case, nelle parrocchie e nelle piazze.
As we contemplate them in our homes, in parishes and squares, we ask the Lord to renew in us the gift of peace and fraternity.
The inauguration of this year's nativity scene and Christmas tree took place on the 15th of December. Locals and tourists alike gathered around the square in anticipation for the big tree lighting.
Well, of course I'm excited, and this is going to be special because, I mean, just waiting for the lights to come out, it's beautiful.
Very pretty, amazing with the light starting to go down, so we're really excited to see all the lights turn on, aren't we?
It's totally exceeded my expectations. It's lively, really pretty, Christmas lights everywhere, love it.
An 80-foot fir tree now stands tall in the center of the square, having come from the Val d'Ultimo area in the province of Bolzano, in northern Italy. Continuing the tradition of Christmas trees in the Vatican that began with St. John Paul II in 1982, when the Holy Father received a spruce tree from a Polish farmer, which started up the tradition of putting up a tree from a different European region every year as a sign of connection with the Vatican. As the Advent season draws to an end, the Vatican, alongside the Catholic Church as a whole, is preparing to celebrate Christmas, helping everyone else to keep their hearts open to welcome the birth of Jesus. candles, processions, and songs of light. In Scandinavia, St. Lucy's Day transforms the country's darkest month into a luminous celebration. Although Nordic societies are today largely secular, a rich tradition has grown around St. Lucy, the bearer of light, in particular in Sweden. Every December the 13th, the early Christian martyr is honored, with candlelit processions in schools, town squares, and churches, a celebration that everyone, believers and non-believers alike, can enjoy. For many years now, this tradition has been brought to St. Peter's Basilica by high school students from Sweden studying music.
This time in Sweden, in December, it's the darkest time of the year. And I think she is the one who brings the light to Sweden, kind of. She brings all the candles, she brings all the light, because it's so completely dark.
In the Swedish tradition, almost all of the most important holidays are connected to light and darkness, since we have like so extreme seasons. So the story of St. Lucy really plays with this contrast of light and dark, and most importantly, hope and despair.
St. Lucia of Syracuse, born around 283 AD in Sicily to a wealthy Christian family, devoted her life to Christ and the poor from an early age. She refused to marry a pagan suitor, choosing instead a life of chastity, prayer, and service. Her steadfast faith led to persecution during the Diocletian era, culminating in her martyrdom around 304 AD.
She shows courage and patience, and just to never let down on yourself and always keep pushing forward. And I think for everyone, really, even if you're not really religious in any way, you can look up to her as just a wonderful person.
In the Swedish St. Lucia procession, St. Lucy wears a candle-lit wreath on her head to light her way, leaving both hands free to carry as much food as possible, accompanied by her handmaids. Her white robe symbolizes purity, while the red sash represents her martyrdom. The processions are accompanied by so-called Lucia songs, which speak of her bringing Christ's peace and proclaim the joy of his coming.
I've been singing in choir and I've been around church music my entire life. So, well, St. Lucy, I've always really had her in the back of my mind, and always every Christmas or every Advent, I'm involved in the tradition of St. Lucy. So, yeah, she's a big part of my upbringing, and she's a big part of my overall culture.
Ultimately, St. Lucy shines as a symbol of Christ's light, triumphing over the darkness that reigns in the heart of winter. While the beloved tradition may have little direct connection to active Catholic practice today, the celebration of St. Lucy in Sweden endures as a powerful testimony to the strength of faith and a reminder of the country's Christian roots, reflecting a longing for what was once lost.
St. Lucy is bringing light into darkness, and so I think that works very well hand in hand with what every Swede hopes for, and that is light in the darkness. So I think that's a reason why it's become so big and so popular in Sweden, is because it plays on what every Swede kind of has in his back mind and what they long for.
Coming up next on Vaticano, we meet the original Santa Claus, St. Nicholas of Bari.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows Santa Claus, the jolly gift-bearing icon who rides his sleigh on Christmas Eve, delighting children around the world. But this beloved figure has roots in a real 4th century figure, Saint Nicholas. In Puglia's vibrant capital of Bari, his name echoes through every street, alley, and seaside path with unmatched fervor. The devotion to Bari's patron unites believers and skeptics alike, blending faith with cultural identity. All can be found within the Basilica of Saint Nicholas in Bari, where the saint's relics are preserved.
La basilica viene costruita in seguito all'arrivo delle reliquie di San Nicola qui a Bari nel 1086.
The basilica was built following the arrival of San Nicholas relics in Bari in 1087. What began as a commercial expedition eventually took on a sacred purpose. The Bari sailors who had traveled to Antioch on a trading mission learned that the Venetians' rivals planned to steal the saint's bones. They arrived before the Venetians, went to Myra and took the relics of Saint Nicholas, one of the most venerated saints in both the East and the West. When they returned to Bari, they decided to build this magnificent basilica, which would naturally house the relics of the saint.
From that moment on, a profound, almost instinctive bond was forged between the people of Bari and Saint Nicholas, a love that has survived the centuries and still beats in the heart of the city.
From the very day Saint Nicholas's bones arrived in Bari, pilgrims began to come immediately. According to historical accounts, as soon as some pilgrims arrived, 4 or 5 miracles occurred involving people who had been blind. They regained their sight upon entering the Bari area. And this was just the beginning, as from that moment on, pilgrims of all ages and social classes came in a continuous flow. Popes came, kings came, knights passing through during the Crusades came. Everyone came through here.
Durante le crociate sono passati tutti di qua.
Every year, this devotion comes alive in 2 remarkable celebrations. On December the 6th, the city honors the day of St. Nicholas's death, while on May the 8th and 9th, Bari commemorates the daring transfer of his relics from Myra. During this unique celebration, the statue of St. Nicholas is carried in a grand procession across the sea, a moving tribute to the courageous sailors who brought the saint to their city. But Saint Nicholas is also the saint of Christmas. His historical figure and the stories about him gave rise to the character we now know as Santa Claus. This all stems from one particular miracle he performed.
Venne a conoscenza del fatto che una famiglia era caduta in povertà, in disgrazia.
He learned that a family had fallen into poverty, into misfortune, a terrible financial distress, so that the 3 daughters of this family, not having a dowry to marry, were destined for prostitution. And the father had already begun to make arrangements in this sense. Saint Nicholas learned of this, so at night, without being seen by anyone, he went near the house of this family, and with a leather bag full of gold coins, he placed gold coins and threw them through the window of this family. In the morning, the father heard the noise, got up, and saw this bag of gold coins, and, thanking the sisters, used this money to provide a dowry for his daughter, who was able to get married. But there were 2 other daughters, and Saint Nicholas performed this act 2 more times. And the symbol that characterizes the figure of Saint Nicholas in all his iconography is the 3 balls.
Le tre palle, diciamo.
The act of giving without seeking recognition continues to inspire the streets of the city that loves him, bringing aid and hope to those in need. His spirit endures through numerous organizations that support Bari's homeless and most vulnerable. Among these is the Incontra Bari Association, which every morning and evening distributes food, clothing, blankets, and hot drinks. They do so in a unique way, from a camper that travels the city's cold streets, transforming them into spaces of warmth, light, and humanity.
Tonight, as has become tradition for the Incontra Association, we set out with the street unit. The street unit departs each day from different points across the city, from the outskirts to the center. Today, we start from the city center as we aim to reach as many people as possible at different times with the camper. What you see behind us is part of the street unit in action, a service that has been running since Incontra was founded in 2007. This year marks 18 years of the service, which continues to evolve year after year. Un servizio che va evolvendosi di anno in anno.
Incontra, through volunteers of all ages, provides a continuous service of support to the invisible people of Bari, the homeless, immigrants living in precarious conditions, and families facing hardship and uncertainty, not only financially.
We know all the places where they sleep, where they take shelter at night, whether it's raining hot or windy. There are various spots where the same person may move depending on the weather that day. What will we do tonight? We'll bring warm milk, herbal teas, because we know who is lactose intolerant, who only drinks teas, and who prefers just plain tea.
Michele and the many volunteers won't leave their friends living on the streets alone, not even during the Christmas holidays.
We're especially active during the holiday season, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and from December 24th to the 26th. On Christmas Eve, volunteers hit the streets in the camper dressed as Santa Claus.
Okay, c'è posto. Okay. Do you have documents?
The volunteers are many, mostly young people, all called to help those in need.
I think about the gratitude of all those people who thank you, who call you an angel. I believe that means far more than a night out. It's something that you can carry with you forever, something that no one else can give you.
I am the daughter of the president, and my father's example has been very important and meaningful to me. He introduced me to the world of volunteering at an early age, giving me many opportunities to learn about the networks of volunteers, the entire world behind it, and all the different ways volunteering can be expressed and people can be helped.
St. Nicholas continues to bring love to his city through the hands of Michele, Gaia, Francesca, and all those who day and night offer a smile, a warm tea, or a dry blanket to those in need, men and women for whom otherwise Christmas is no different than any other day. After the break, discover how a beloved Italian Christmas carol is reaching the world. In the heart of the hills of southern Italy, there's a special sanctuary that has welcomed several remarkable saints. The Sanctuary of Santa Maria della Consolazione in Deliceto, Puglia. Father Luca Preziosi, the rector of the sanctuary, has opened the doors of this extraordinary church and sanctuary.
Beato Felice da Corsano, monaco agostiniano.
Blessed Felice da Corsano, an Augustinian hermit who lived here for 30 years in this cave, was also a saint who people went to, and because they felt he had an enlightened word and was sought after.
Da parte del Signore.
His death marked the end of an era, yet decades later, a new saint would walk through the same sanctuary doors and compose one of the songs that has moved generations of Italians to the Catholic faith.
Tu scendi dalle stelle, o re del cielo, e vieni in una grotta al freddo al gelo.
The origin of the song by Alfonso Maria de Liguori, who would later become a saint, then doctor of the church in 1871, and finally entitled Heavenly Patron of All Confessors and Moralists, first began when he came here to this remote part of Puglia.
Alfonso wants to share a little of this beauty, of his knowledge of Jesus. And how does he do it? He says, but these simple people who come down from Abruzzo don't know how to read or write. How do I talk to them about Jesus?
Driven by a desire to speak to society's simplest people, the shepherds that hailed from Abruzzo, these men and women took part in an ancient pastoral practice of seasonal migration of their flocks from the mountains of Abruzzo to the plains of Puglia during the winter season.
I imagine that St. Alfonso saw these thousands and thousands of sheep in these valleys, and these men and women who came down who didn't even have a home, nothing. And how could these people feel? Well, this shepherd, a good shepherd, really wants to make them feel that they are important.
Proprio vuole farli sentire che sono importanti, perché Gesù dice scende.
Because Jesus says, he comes down from heaven for them. A bit recalling the story told by St. Luke. These shepherds who were there in Bethlehem and saw the angels there. So St. Alfonso says, I also want to speak to these shepherds today about God's love for them.
Oggi parlare dell'amore di Dio per loro, proprio per questi piccoli.
But what inspired Alfonso Maria de Liguori to write this Christmas song?
Racconta il suo biografo.
According to his biographer, he fixated his gaze on this painting, a beautiful image, and he felt called personally by Mary, to which he was deeply devoted to remain here.
Qui, in questo santuario.
Tenor Luciano La Monarca, a native of Puglia, has set his sights on a heartfelt mission, bringing the English version of this beloved Italian Christmas carol to the world.
As a tenor, of course, I was trying to find a way to promote the legacy of this song. And therefore, after Sergio Franchi and Luciano Pavarotti, Andrea Bocelli, who have recorded the song mostly in Italy, in Italian, I decided to do a project, to support a project that would have allowed me to sing the song in all three languages and tell the story to the public at large, especially in America, where the song is not well known.
Tu scendi dalle stelle is a beautiful old song made by Sant'Alfonso Maria de Liguori, and it was made in a Christmas time in a very small, poor and cold place. And now it is sung all over the world.
E vieni in una grotta al freddo al gelo.